You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Wednesday, 14 April. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb global headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Martin Smith from Anchor Capital, Capitec results and US inflation, Fevers Perolis from Theresa, and production update. Rain was a bit of a concern for them, but that PGM basket continues to move higher. And then Eleni van der Vestes and from Tax Tim, claiming back tax if you've been working from home. A poll yesterday which went out LinkedIn and on Twitter, will the MPC raise rates towards the end of the year? The average result was 39% said no chance. I was in that group. 42% said very likely and 19% said need more data. Not an unfair point. Let's see how that data rolls. MoneyWeb Now brought to you by Orbvest, a global real estate company that has a hyper-focus on acquiring stable, income-producing medical buildings in the USA. Investors use Orbvest's online platform to invest directly into low-risk commercial real estate, primarily in the healthcare niche in the USA, from as little as $5,000. Some morning headlines, MarketWatch, US consumer prices surge in March, inflation at a 2.5-year high. Yes, inflation at 2.6%, but remember our chat yesterday with Vickers Fristenbach, core inflation 1.6%. He said watch that number. Business Day, Robex division's return to profitability, that was in the second half. The full year is still going to see a loss. Morning markets, US is green, S&P up 0.3, Nasdaq 1.1% higher. Asia mixed, Sydney up 0.3, Tokyo down 0.4%. Commodities mostly green, gold 17.45, Rand 14.49. Top 40 opening call, looking for about a 230-point open, and that's about 0.35%.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Turning now with Martin Smith, portfolio manager at Anchor Capital. Martin, morning. Appreciate the early morning time. The Capitec results yesterday. The number that stood out for me. I mean, it was a brilliant second half, I think. And I talk as a shareholder, so I'm biased here. But the dividend, they're paying 16 Rand dividend, and that just shows confidence from the board to say the worst is behind us. We've managed this. Yes, we had some bad debts and impairments spiking, but we're in control. And the next financial year to Feb 22 will be largely fine.
Yeah, I mean, that dividend number was up 112%. I think largely playing catch up on the back of COVID and all those things. But like you said, it looks like the worst is behind us. They certainly think so. Very, very strong set of numbers, specifically in the second half. So I think it all kind of bodes well for Capitec shareholders and maybe for South Africans, if this is what they're looking at on the ground.
And Capitec, I mean, one of the naysayers on Capitec, they'll always say, oh, but you know, one day there'll be a crisis and bad debts and Capitec will collapse. In truth, I mean, the last year, COVID was perhaps an excellent test of that theory. And with respect, the Capitec systems stood up. They managed. The provisioning worked.
Yeah, absolutely. If there was going to be a time, it was going to be in the last kind of 12 months. And if you look at how they fared relative to the other banks, it's a great set of numbers and very, very positive. So, yeah, I think my biggest thing with Capitec has always kind of been the multiple. I mean, we hold Capitec across our business. So I'm not as stressed about the kind of big all fall down scenario. And like you said, I think if it was going to happen, COVID might have been that case. But we had kind of record numbers in the second half. But I think for me, the one kind of caveat to Capitec has always been the multiple it trades on. I mean, it's one of the most expensive banks in the world. But again, I mean, it puts the numbers on the board.
Yeah, and that then was to my last question. I mean, the banks are all looking on lowish valuations. Capitec, I mean, I think it's the better of the breed in our local market. But you know, you've almost got to, I don't know, close your eyes at that valuation and say, I'm not going to be stressed. I mean, when I first bought it, I think it was in a PE of 70. It's grown into that, but it's not a bank that has been, I mean, you don't get this at single, sort of teen-digit PEs.
Yeah, I mean, and they keep putting the runs on the board kind of year after year after year. I mean, it's an incredibly well-run business. And the kind of concerns around it and the numbers have been there, like you said, for years and years and years, and they keep just kind of growing into that multiple, and that PE unwinds kind of over time as growth kind of follows suit. And I mean, I kind of am the same sort of thought process as you, choosing kind of quality in the banking sector. So I mean, Capitec and FirstRand are kind of my two core holdings across client portfolios. So very much in the same camp, but like I said, that multiple sometimes makes me a little bit nervous, but still very happy to kind of hold on.
Yep, and that multiple has repaid you handsomely over the years.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, sometimes you pay up for quality, and in Capitec's case, you do pay up, you do get the quality. Inflation data out of the US yesterday. Inflation's been, certainly was the story of March, or the concern and the like. The 12-month number was 2.6%, but core inflation, which kind of strips out the food, the energy, which are both very low base, 1.6%, which is certainly a manageable number. Is this inflation something that you and your team on the desk are monitoring and worried about, or do you think it'll manage itself?
Yes, I mean, US inflation and the US kind of 10-year treasury yields were kind of the flavor of the last month or so, with everyone kind of keeping a close eye on that. But I think if you look at what's been coming out of the Fed, is they've spoken about it a couple times and talking about the fact that they're not going to react to kind of transitory inflation. And they kept using that exact same kind of that phrase. I mean, that's been kind of said several times, and the same kind of thing has been said out of the EU as well. So, I mean, I think they're going to wait and see if there's any proper long-term sustained inflation that comes through. But the way that they're looking at it, their models think that it's going to be a kind of transitory kind of uptick, and then it'll kind of normalize. So, I mean, I'm still very, very comfortable. I think there's a lot of tailwinds in the US. I think it'll be a bit of a bumpy road, but still very, very positive. And again, it's a number that I'm keeping an eye out for, but this number doesn't really concern me, and it didn't really concern the markets either yesterday, with the US ticking up quite nicely. Yeah. Even with this number coming through, and even with Johnson & Johnson's kind of pause that pause news out of Johnson & Johnson as well. So I'm still happy, tailwinds, and yeah.
No, I take your point. And that was our guest yesterday said, in the US inflation, don't look at the headline number, look at that core number, 1.6, we can manage it. And as you say, you know, Johnson & Johnson pausing jabs, and the market was still up, new highs for S&P, Dow and NASDAQ. Martin Smith, Portfolio Manager, Anchor Capital, appreciate your early morning, sir.
You've worked hard to accumulate wealth, but with these uncertain times, how can you preserve and grow your wealth in a safer place? Offshore, while earning regular quarterly dividends in US dollars. The solution is here. Hundreds of investors from across South Africa are investing in specialized medical real estate in the USA, sourced by a highly skilled team who make it easy for you. Orbvest SA, an authorized FSP. Visit orbvest.com.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Chatting now with Phoevos Pirola, CEO of Theresa. They had a production update. This is for their second quarter of financial year 2021. That's the quarter ending March. Their year starts October. Phoevos, morning. Appreciate the time. You're now a year into the pandemic. I mean, safety protocols at mines are pretty much top of mind. COVID is now, just part of your daily life, just part of that protocol, along with all the other protocols that existed pre COVID.
Good morning, Simon. And yes, absolutely correct. I think it's part of our value system of care, health and safety, and it's entrenched in everything we do. So social distancing, sanitizing, checkpoint control on the entry. We've got these thermal scanners monitoring temperatures. You may recall that we invested quite heavily in our own on-site clinics, where we can assess, test, and isolate even through our own quarantine centres cases that are picked up through the monitoring system. And it's all about that early tracking. But pleased to say we have zero active cases at the moment.
Okay, excellent. So, I mean, yeah, it's working, that track, the trace, the quarantine, the sanitizing. It's a lot, but I think we've all kind of got used to it. Your update that came through, and as I said, it was for your second quarter of the financial year. There were some fairly significant rains, and it's, you know, the farmers like the rain until it gets too much, and then it becomes a problem. For you, rains can also be a problem, and they can potentially hinder mining operations.
They can, and in particular when we have these sort of excessive lightning storms, because we run a large open pit, very much like a golf course. We have these storm monitors where we have to evacuate the pit during these heavy lightning storms. In particular, the rain as well, we welcome it. We do need rain for our operations and for the general environment, but we did, you know, experience certain periods of flash flooding and, as I say, heavy lightning. But seasonally, our second quarter is slightly slow due to weather. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the performance was on target, and we're pleased with it. You know, we're really operating at the correct levels, notwithstanding the weather.
Yeah, and you mentioned that seasonally this is usually your slower quarter, and you know, traditionally the mines as well often had the sort of year-end shutdowns and the like. It came through strong, and cash balances looking strong. And at the end of the day, you know, a business is around that cash process, and you're generating the cash, which is the core part of it, and an indication that the operations are running smooth.
Yeah, indeed. And I think we're very pleased with the PGM basket price, which is up 37%,
yeah.
You know, at $3,290 per ounce, and being able to produce into this sort of high pricing environment, generating cash. We ended with the $73 million cash at the end of the quarter. That's up from almost $50 million the prior quarter. So really talking to the strong cash generative ability of the business. And as I say, you know, these PGM prices are proving to be resilient as well. And on the back of sort of fairly significant supply deficits forecast, I think sustainable.
Yeah, I think we chatted earlier in the year. I think rhodium then was 20,000, and I remember that boggled my brain. And your price for this period was almost 28,000. Rhodium is just, I mean, it's probably the most valuable commodity on planet Earth right now. But we've seen platinum move, we've seen palladium move, and you made the point there that the markets seem tightly balanced. In other words, there is still that sort of that bias towards a supply deficit. In other words, these prices are probably sustainable. I don't know how long, but certainly in the immediate.
Yeah, I'd say we agree with that in the sort of short to medium term. I think we will see these higher prices. There may be fluctuations from day to day, week to week. But generally speaking, I think we're in for a higher PGM basket price. And it's really on the back of that increased demand, increased emission standards globally, and importantly, the Far East and China increasing their emission standards, having a big pull on those PGMs that are desperately needed to clean the emissions of the internal combustion engine.
Yeah, and that's ultimately what the PGM is. It's a green metal, and that, you know, the story is, if we're looking for a cleaner planet, we need more PGMs. We'll leave that there. Appreciate the time. Phoevos Pirolis, CEO, Theresa, thanks very much for the early morning, sir.
MoneyWeb Now on the Money. Also available on podcast.
Turning now with Eleni van der Westhuizen. She's a senior tax at Tax Tim. Eleni, morning. Appreciate your time. I think for many people, one of the key features of the last year was working from home. Suddenly, you didn't go into the office. Simply, you couldn't. There was a pandemic. There was a lockdown. But in many industries, work continued. And you've done a note in Tax Tim's put together a calculator. If I've worked from home, I can potentially actually claim back some tax in terms of the costs. There are some T's and C's, but I can go to SARS and say, hey, I worked from home. I want, you know, a bit of a rebate in a sense.
Good morning. Yes, if you work from home at least 6 months from last year, March, until this year, February, you can definitely claim. You just have a few requirements to fulfill. You need to have approval from your employer to work from home.
Mm-hmm.
And most likely they will give you a letter which staff would want at a later stage. And then most importantly, it needs to be at least 50%. So if you work more from home, even better. And very, very important, you need to have a designated area in your home that's specifically set up for your home office. For example, if you work from your dining room table, mm-hmm. that won't work because that's a shared space.
Okay.
But if you're still unsure, we do have a decision tree on Texton's website that where you can only answer a few questions and then we can tell you if you can claim a home office deduction or not.
Yeah, but it's 6 months. I didn't realize the 6 months part. You need a letter. That's nice and simple. Get a letter from your employer. You're not lying. You probably will be working from home. It's a dedicated area. You can't use the kitchen table or something like that. You need to have an office space. And if you meet those criteria, you can claim back all sorts. I mean, you know, potentially some of the rates and taxes, water, electricity, pro rata on your rent, even interest on your bond, although, as I understand, not the primary repayment. And this would be pro rata. If your office is, say, 15% of the house, you can claim back 15% of those appointed expenses.
That's exactly correct. And if you struggle to do that calculation, we have a very nice Taxtum free home office expense calculator where you literally just have to plug down the total expenses and then the size of your home and the size of your home office. And it will automatically calculate it for you.
Yeah, and I mean, it's probably not going to be a massive number, but it is certainly going to be something that when you submit your tax return later this year, you can claim something back. And I mean, it's percentages of percentages. You know, how much of space have you got, and you know, how much was it spent on the house and the like. But it is going to sort of help folks who've had a rough year, who've worked from home, and get something back from the tax man.
Exactly. Every little bit of extra money in your pocket will go a long way. Even better is that they can use us at Taxton, which is the alternative to SARS e-filing, to help them simply submit their tax returns online using Taxton, which is a digital tax assistant, which is much cheaper than using an accountant, and we will help you to claim all the type of expenses that you can claim. And if you get stuck or you have additional questions that you're not sure of, we have a specialized tax team on the radio on the go on our helpdesk on taxteam.com.
Do we know? I know, for example, a sole proprietor or a freelancer who's always worked from home has been doing this for years, for decades. They've been making their claim back. That then had an implication when the property was sold around CGT, because part of it was for work, and I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. But do we get a sense from SARS, because this is really, it's a one-off. It's going to be a year. Maybe it'll roll into two tax years for some cases, etc. Is SARS, when you, if you own the property and sell it, are they going to sort of bring in that CGT issue, or is it a case of they're going to say this was extraordinary, it was only 2 years and you might have held that property for 10 or 15?
There is a CGT effect on it, but you're more than welcome to go to our website. We've got a nice blog that covers this whole picture and explains how this will affect your CGT at the end.
Okay.
But like it will also be the percentage-wise. And like, for example, if you owned your home for 20 years and you only had a home office for 2 years, that percentage of CGT would be minimal.
I got you. So it would be two years of 20, which is 10%, and then of course it was of the space. So if it was 10, so it might actually end up being 1 or 2% of the sale that is liable for that CGT. We'll leave that there. It's Lenny van der Westhuizen, and senior tax technical at Tax Tim. Appreciate your early morning. The show is brought to you by Orbvest's latest investment opportunity, Medical 32, a multi-tenanted Class A medical office building located in Jacksonville, Florida. For more information, visit orbvest.com. Orbvest SA is an authorized financial services provider, license number 50483. Our poll today, which we're asking, and it's both on our Twitter and our LinkedIn accounts, which will be up in a moment. I talked to Martin Smith around those Capitec results. As I said, the record dividend of 16 Rand indicating massive confidence. How did you rate those results? Excellent, that was certainly my take. Not bad, considering bad debts still worry you, or perhaps you just don't like the the banks at all. As I said, you'll find that on our social media, our Twitter account at MoneyWeb and our LinkedIn profile. That's it for today. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app at 6:30 a.m. Podcast available from 7 a.m. Huge thanks to my team, Eddie, Cordora, Nicole, Matapelo, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.